Every Day is Earth Day is supported by Minnesota Valley Federal Credit Union. With two locations in Mankato since 1934, it pays to bank where you're part owner, member NCUA. More at mnvalleyfcu.coop. And Every Day is Earth Day is also supported by members of the Executive Board of the South Central Minnesota Clean Energy Council. Find out more at smcleanenergy.org. I have a studio full of students this morning. I'm really thrilled to have them all in here. They're going to be talking about the St. Peter Greenhouse Gas Inventory. What in the heck is that? Well, they'll be telling us in a moment. They are students of Professor Jeff Jeremiason from Gustavus Adolphus College, and this is essentially their senior seminar. And so I'm going to have them introduce themselves this morning. There are four of these wonderful students doing this project. So let's start on our far right. Who are you and where are you from?
My name is Gabe Maurer, and I'm a senior at Gustavus Adolphus College, and I'm from Brainerd, Minnesota.
All right.
And I am Lucy Peterson. I am also a senior at Gustavus, and I am from St. Paul, Minnesota.
I am Ari DeVries. I'm also a senior at Gustavus, and I am from Richfield, Minnesota.
Okay.
And I'm Scott Knowlton, also a senior, and I'm from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
All right. Now, so I don't know how you want to decide who talks or not. I'd like you all to talk, but you may have different areas of expertise. So this is a part of what you said is an environmental senior seminar. So what is this class that you're in that you took this as your final senior year project?
Yeah, so a senior seminar is basically a class in which we get to decide a project that we want to work on and do actual experiential learning in the field on something that interests us and we want to work on into the future. And that's, so we have around 16 students, and each group of students is working on something that they find to be important to them.
Okay, now are you all wanting to be in the environmental field at some point? Is that why you are in this area and doing this as your senior project? Let's start on our far right with Gabe.
Yes, that is the reason.
So what do you want to do?
I want to do environmental law and hopefully work in the EPA.
And Lucy?
Yes, I definitely want to get into some conservation work, so for sure.
That's your area.
Yes.
Okay, and Ari?
Yeah, I am looking to get into ecology, so kind of a combo of bio and environmental studies.
And finally, Scott?
I'm looking to do some work in sustainability.
Wonderful. Well, that's what this program is all about. Every Day is Earth Day. We talk about this. And specifically, your project is a greenhouse gas history, it's referred to as a GHG inventory, collection of all the greenhouse gases such as CO2 in an area that an area produces. And for St. Peter, you went around with nets and you captured all the greenhouse. I'm just kidding. I told them that earlier and they just looked at me. So how does one get an inventory? I mean, it's not like you can go to the warehouse and pick it up and say, hey, look, we've got five of these thingamajigs and et cetera. So who wants to talk about how you collected this?
Well, to start, we just formed connections with Gustavus faculty and city officials, so we were able to get access to city facility data. And with that data, we were able to just do some simple calculations to figure out how they would produce CO2 emissions.
So, for example, where did you go? What places did you seek out?
Yeah, so there's a few different like areas of carbon emissions that we were looking to find out. So like electricity was one. And for that, we had to go to SIMPA, which is the city's like regional electricity provider. Or for natural gas, we went to CenterPoint Energy located in Kasota.
Okay, so is this just the St. Peter proper, or is it the county, or how do you know how far to go out to measure this?
I think it was mostly in St. Peter proper.
Okay.
Or as best as we could.
All right. And so when you went out, what other things did you measure?
So we measured natural gas usage, electricity, carbon emissions from transportation, carbon emissions from municipal solid waste. We pretty much anything that emits large amounts of carbon and greenhouse gases, we measured.
And why do we care about this? Why should people say, well, why are these students going out collecting this? Why do they care? What does it mean for us?
Yeah, so the city of St. Peter is interested in forming a climate action plan. So with this information, they'll be allowed to basically find out what areas they need to cut down or like bring back so that they can actually address the climate change future.
Okay, so what sorts of things did you find? I'm just curious, like, were there things that were aha moments, or was it sort of routine? I mean, I assume you've studied what other communities have done, so you had like a comparison.
Yeah, so we've looked at comparisons between many other cities in Minnesota, and we found that St. Peter's doing fairly well. Their emissions per capita is pretty low, similar to the level of Minneapolis, much lower than cities like Mankato. And,
really?
Yeah, and Duluth.
Okay, so it's similar to Minneapolis, which is a much, much larger city. But so what's different then from Mankato, which is a much smaller city, obviously, than Minneapolis? So how did that figure?
I think generally it has to do with the amount of industry present in Mankato and Duluth, because St. Peter is mostly residential, so there's not going to be as much of like the big emissions that comes from like, you know, just small houses. So that's our theory on why Mankato and Duluth were so much higher than
St.
Peter.
So what were some of the biggest emitters of greenhouse gases then that you discovered in St. Peter?
Well, specifically for St. Peter, it looked like electricity was the largest emitter of greenhouse gases.
Okay, mm-hmm. And what sorts of things would that include? What electricity from power plants, or I mean, what do they have there that's?
Yeah, it just is from their power plant system, which I believe just runs energy in from the cities, and they just re-transfer it out from there. So I don't know where it's initially coming from. But I guess it's a strong mix of renewable energies along with, like, you know, coal and natural gas.
What do you have to add, Ari?
Yeah, I think also the natural gas was definitely the second biggest contributor.
Is that mainly from heating things?
Yeah, mostly for heat.
Okay. Do you do things like emissions from cars and transportation, things like that? Was that a part of the studies? Mm-hmm. And how does one do that?
Yeah, so the state of Minnesota actually collects information on how many vehicles travel through a town every year. And so you can just take, so they'll break it down into the different types of cars. So it'll be like, you know, trucks, like four-wheel, like SUVs. And you can just find out what the average carbon emission is for each of those types of vehicles. And then when you just add all the numbers together, you can get one solid number on how much carbon emissions transportation specifically dealt.
So when the city takes this inventory that you've put together, do they have engineers or somebody looking at it saying, aha, we're doing great in this area, we're not doing great in that area, or what are they, I guess, analyzing, or are you giving them recommendations?
I think our end goal is just to kind of give information to the city to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't really know very much beyond of like what the city would plan on doing with it. And yeah, there's also like different companies that like the city could like also probably pay to help make a climate action plan.
Okay, so this will go toward making that climate action plan. When you looked at other cities, you said you've done some comparisons. Do other cities have climate action plans that you're aware of?
Yeah, so some cities that had some ones that we were looking at as being kind of like, you know, templates of what St. Peter could do were like Red Wing and Albert Lea. Both had, you know, they were normally like 100-page documents. They outlined how they wanted to move away from natural gas, how they would have to like invest into like wind or hydro or solar power, and exactly what that transition would look like to be the most effective to actually reduce our carbon emissions.
In your assessment with St. Peter, do they have many natural, I guess, renewable energy sources that were a part of what you looked at when you saw what you were researching?
I guess we don't know exactly how much of SMPA's energy does come from renewable.
Okay.
But one problem for St. Peter that they're going to have to address going into the future is that they've remove the ability for wind turbines to be built around city limits as long as there's a residential home, like within, I want to say, like half a mile or something. And so that's really restricted how much renewable energy they can create, basically limiting them to only solar power. And only recently have they started to invest in that. I think the Gustavus Adolphus College is building a few acres of solar panels to help with that. So, yeah.
So there's some of that there, mm-hmm. And this will maybe say we should invest more in such and such. What about the municipal solid waste? Is that based on dumps, or what is that? Are you looking at when you measured the greenhouse gases from that?
Yeah, so the municipal solid waste is mostly from like dumps, and like the volume of how much trash gets collected, and when it sits in the dump, it as it's like decomposing, it releases a lot of greenhouse gases, and I think methane is one of the primary ones from that, which is a pretty potent greenhouse gas. And so, yeah, there's just a factor of how much greenhouse gas like a pound of trash made, and we could take that and find out exactly how much the trash from St. Peter.
And you don't have a lot of cows in St. Peter proper, so you couldn't blame it on the cows, right?
Sadly not.
Because that is a factor, too. I mean, have you talked about that? Things like animal production and things like that produces methane and that sort of thing? Because, like you said, it's a potent polluter. So did you look at those sorts of comparisons?
That definitely is something to consider, but it was not a large focus for us to look at for this inventory.
I already asked them if they were farm kids, and they all said no. So otherwise, you'd be like me, like, what did the cows do?
Yeah.
You know, I just like cows. All right, so that's the municipal solid waste. And then you talked about natural gas, which is primarily used for heating. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about transportation. Is St. Peter have a higher emissions in that area? Because you've got kind of a main thoroughfare from Highway 169 through there. Were you able to compare with other cities to see how you did in that area?
I'm going off of memory here, but I am pretty sure that yes, it was relatively high. Okay. Because there was a higher load of specifically semis moving through the city, which produced a lot more carbon emissions relative to other cities. So I think that definitely contributed to them having a higher percentage than one would expect for a residential town.
So I wonder if they want to say, like, well, let's make some cities like Waseca or others have made the highway go around them, so then you don't have all that right there. It's on the highway instead. Is that something that we had no idea, I suppose?
Yeah, I think that that's largely performative, building a highway around the issue. I think that their energy could be better spent trying to just produce more renewable energies and trying to maybe provide subsidies for people buying electric cars and building electric charging stations to just allow residents to move towards a greener future.
Now, you guys are a younger generation than I am, so how do you feel about things like the alternative energy? You know, some people are set in their ways because they said, well, we've always done it this way, and it's worked out fine. So what would you tell them?
Well, I mean, I'm heavily open to moving towards more renewable and more sustainable sources of energy. And you say it has worked out fine, but I mean, as most of us have seen, it isn't working. So obviously, I think I can speak for all of us here when we all agree in saying that we should be looking towards a more sustainable future and working towards it together.
What have maybe some of you done individually to do this? I mean, whether it's informing people or whether it's actually doing something, maybe nothing. I don't know. You can go ahead and say that if that's true.
Yeah, I guess it just is the simple things that we can do. So, like, for example, trying to compost as much as we can, trying to reduce waste that ends up in landfills, you know, just shutting off the lights when you leave the house. It doesn't need to, if everybody does these tiny things, it can really make a large difference. And I think that's important to remember.
Mm-hmm. Anybody get an electric car? I know they're kind of expensive for college students, so.
Not quite, but I hope to someday.
Okay, yes. Well, that's the start if we get, you know, more people on that road. Does Gustavus have any solar power or anything like that at this point, do you know?
We have quite a bit. Many of our buildings have solar panels on top of them, and right now Gustavus is currently building a solar field on their campus.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is that to run the campus or
it's to provide electricity to run the campus. It's not going to completely it's not going to produce all the electricity we need, but we're hoping to get there eventually.
Yeah, I want to say it'll provide 10% of our electricity. Okay. Needs, so not even all of it. It's hard to fund fuel as big of a campus as Gustavus. We have a lot of buildings.
Another area you looked at, but this was it was the stationary combustible fuels. What does that consist of?
Yeah, so the stationary combustible fuels consist of these things called Peking plants, which...
What are they called?
Peking. I think that's how they're pronounced. It might be Peking, but that's how they're spelled. So it's P-E-K-I-N-G.
Oh, okay.
And these plants run only off of, I think just coal power, but they're only operated, a few hours, a month even.
What would they do? What kind of things would they...
Yeah, so if, there's not enough energy coming in from the city... or if there's just an overload of power and they just need a little bit more, they'll turn them on just to fill that gap in the supply. and then they'll turn them back off as soon as they're no longer needed.
So that, how much did that issue in terms of gases, CO2, did that produce?
I can't remember the exact number, but it's very small. It's going to be like...
So that's a little...
Yeah, like 0.1% or something of the total emissions.
Is that because they've replaced it with other forms of alternative energies, or...?
I think so, and I think it's also because the infrastructure is just really good in the city of St. Peter in terms of, like, the electricity is going to normally get to where it needs to go and doesn't need extra.
So in your research, did you look at what sorts of things are... I guess, ways that a city could reduce their overall emission sources of CO2 that would make a big difference? What kinds of things would you recommend? And I'm not saying specifically for St. Peter, but in general, what would be a good thing for cities to look at?
Well, I think as we were saying a little bit earlier, since electricity is one of the biggest emitters for St. Peter, Gabe talked about this a little bit, but switching some of the city's electrical grid over to more renewable energy sources, that would be a big step.
So whether it's solar or wind power, or what are some other things? Did you talk much about geothermal at all?
Geothermal's tough in St. Peter due to our location on, like, the bluffs of the river.
Sure.
It's really sandy material, and so it would cost a lot of money to get down to where you could actually produce geothermal energy.
I was just wondering, because I know we've got a school here. I think it's Prairie Winds that does some geothermal stuff, and we're a little different. It's kind of not, it's more up on the hill, not by the river. And I think you're right about the river part of that. So are there other alternatives, too, we could look at?
There's always, like, nuclear and stuff, but also, like, that's a whole thing in and of itself that I am not probably qualified to speak on.
Well, I know my son did some research on nuclear energy. He did it for a 4-H project, and he was talking about how, I mean, it can be really efficient. But, I mean, then people are concerned about the waste, and that's why it has maybe a more negative connotation in some senses. Did you look at that at all? Did you guys study what the impact that could have?
In this project, we did not look at waste management, so of nuclear specifically.
Sure.
That just was out of our wheelhouse, since I don't think Minnesota even has a nuclear plant. I don't think.
They do.
Oh,
they've
that's
got a
great.
Couple. Yeah. Yeah, they do, actually. Well, there's something your teacher, Dr. Jeremiahson, talk about nuclear energy. Just saying. This class is probably going, what? Anyway, so you have published this information about the St. Peter greenhouse gas inventory online. Talk a little bit about that. Where can people find information?
Yeah, so we built a website that contains all of the information that we gathered and all the data specifically. And I can't remember the like name or URL off the top of my head.
Let me look. I'll Google. Keep talking here and I'll...
But yeah, we wanted to do a website so that it would be accessible to as many people as possible, so that just regular people can look and see how St. Peter is doing, and that, like, you don't have to try to, like, find a paper online.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think it's called St. Peter GHG Inventory, but generally it's hard to find given that the algorithm is not in our favor in terms of we don't have a lot of clicks on it. So
this is interesting. I clicked on this. I Googled it, and it says greenhouse gas emission inventory for fiscal year 2007 and 2008, Gustavus Adolphus, prepared by James Donche. Is this someone else that is another faculty member or someone that has done this? Because it looks like, or has this been being done every year and you just decided to do it for 2022?
Well, yes, Gustavus does do the greenhouse gas inventories, but we were focusing more on just the city, but we use the Gustavus inventory as inspiration for a lot of our work too.
Oh, okay. So you looked at, so Gustavus itself did that, and when you compared that, how you said Gustavus was doing fairly well when you looked at their data compared with the city overall.
So it's hard to it. So the greenhouse gas inventory you're looking at right now is only Gustavus emissions.
Okay.
And so what we created was something that would encapsulate the entire city. So Gustavus is doing all right. I mean, there's always room for improvement. They are making improvement. But what you're looking at is also pretty outdated, 15 years ago now. So I know there is, on the Gustavus website, you can look at our emissions.
So you could find that, too.
Updated, yeah.
How does one go about, let's say I want to find out, Mankato. Is there a way somewhere that you can go to find that out? Like, where did you guys look to find all this data?
I don't know if I'm supposed to name drop our source, but I don't know actually know if it's public information, but it might be.
Can you give us a hint?
It's a professor at MSU.
Ooh. Oh, well, who is at MSU?
Professor Schwarzkopf, I believe.
Oh, Lou. Well, you know, yeah. Professor Lou Schwarzkopf is a huge supporter of this Every Day is Earth Day because he's one of the supporters that got this program started a few years ago. And so I know he's very concerned about the environment. So was he one of your sources to help you figure these things out?
Yeah, he's the one who did the initial greenhouse gas inventory of North Mankato and Mankato from 2008, I want to say. So a bit back, but he was the one that helped our previous group because this is a continuation project, okay. Meaning that groups that could save us have worked on this before. He was their point of contact and helped them get started.
Okay, well, that's good to know because then, so there's some data, but like you said, maybe it's older, but it needs to be renewed. Hey, students, anybody out there want to renew? Right?
Exactly.
How did you feel? I mean, when you're doing this, did it take a whole semester or what was the process like to get all this project done?
Well, like Gabe said, a group of students started this in the fall semester of this year, and now we've been working on it for about 2.5 months, so it is a lengthy process of being able to collect all this data. The first group got about 3 of the like groups we were looking at, and then we were finishing it out with the last 2.
So the groups are electricity, municipal solid waste, natural gas, transportation, and stationary combustible fuels?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So which one were you in charge of?
We were looking at municipal solid waste, stationary combustible fuels, and natural gas. Natural gas being the hardest to find.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Why is that?
CenterPoint Energy is not very willing to give out the information, but Scott can speak more on that.
So it's less about their willingness and more about the ability to contact them. It's very hard to be able to talk to anybody.
I mean, because our menu has changed. Dial 1 if you would like to talk to, and then they never call back. Is that kind of thing?
So to talk to anybody over the phone, you need a customer number.
Oh,
and since we're not customers, we couldn't really talk to anybody. And their facility in Mankato is not like there's no offices there. It's a
big corporation.
Yeah. So it's. We found a connection through a member of the Gustavus staff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was just really hard to access that info.
Yep.
Now, does St. Peter have any users of Benco Electric? That's like one we have. It's a co-op here in Mankato. I was just curious.
So all the natural gas supplied to the city of St. Peter is through CenterPoint Energy.
Okay, that's the natural gas.
Yeah, and all the electricity comes from SMMPA, S-M-M-P-A.
Okay, because we've got the Benco's one like for kind of more rural, and then is it CenterPoint Energy? I don't remember. Anyway, but I was just curious if but SMMPA, I'm not familiar with that, but that must be the St. Peter supplier then.
Yeah, like St. Peter Municipal Power Agency or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So what is the biggest thing you've learned from doing this as your senior project?
That's
go ahead,
tough.
Lucy. Lucy looks like she wants to talk.
I think the biggest thing I've learned is that, well, just through the process, it can be hard to collect this data. But I think the overall result of hopefully creating a climate action plan will be completely worth all of the work and the emails we've had to send just to collect the data and just hopefully being able to help St. Peter become a more sustainable and efficient city. And that will just be a big reward.
Yeah. How about the rest of you?
I think I've learned that honestly, people are really willing to help. Most people that we've reached out to get back to you within a few days, and we just are students. And I think that's really, you know, encouraging that they want to help us make these positive changes, and that's been great to learn.
How about the rest of you?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just been nice to see that the whole process of finding the data and being able to use it is, while there's some hurdles, it's not as difficult as you might think, and that it's something that we can definitely help apply to more places mm-hmm. around Minnesota or the U.S. to help other cities improve their greenhouse gas emissions.
How about you, Scott?
I agree with Gabe. I found it really easy to like communicate with people, and they are really willing to help. And I think the biggest thing for me is just the realization that even though you aren't, you know, working for the government or an energy company, you can, you know, create these projects and make change, or at least try to make change pretty easily.
Does doing this research make you want to look into anything further, or is this kind of like, well, this is my senior project, I'm done, I'm going to graduate and do whatever? I was just curious if this impacted you in some way. And if not, that's fine too. I was just curious.
I used to be really interested in policy work on this type of angle, but I've found that at times it can be frustrating working in the bureaucracy, and so I've moved away from it.
Well, that's fair enough. There is a lot of bureaucracy in corporations and things like that, and universities and government and so on and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I find this interesting, and it's definitely something I would be interested in maybe working on in the future. But also, I think in terms of this project itself, I don't think we can work on it past the time we graduate. Mm-hmm. We have to pass it on to the next group.
Okay, fair enough to compare. Because you've got numbers here that don't mean a lot to me. So, for example, the St. Peter greenhouse gas emissions by source, it says electricity, 40.8 million kilograms of CO2. I don't even know what that compares to.
And generally, I think the more important information isn't how much St. Peter's producing, it's how much it's doing per capita. And that information we still are working on getting up because we want it to be accurate.
Oh, okay.
But generally, we found, like, for example, I think the city of Red Wings is at 12,000 kilograms of CO2 per capita, while St. Peter's sitting at 8,000 kilograms of CO2 per capita. So relatively, that's pretty good. And that might sound like a lot, 8,000 kilograms of CO2. That's how much each person is producing per year on average.
You know, I don't know what that looks like. So it's
I would assume it looks like a lot. 8,000 kilograms is big for me. But I think it'll be more useful for the city to actually be able to just cut down on it. I don't think it matters a ton if we can visualize it, unfortunately.
Because I know, you know, with this report that is online that people can access now is basically the sources by percentage. And like you said, electricity is almost 40% of the source of the CO2. Natural gas is 37% of it. And then you got transportation that's about 21%. And municipal solid waste is just about 3%. And then you've got the other one that's just like you said, just a tiny little sliver on there. So you're further analyzing, it sounds like.
Yeah, just doing a little bit more work as we're making a draft climate action plan for the city to kind of like see and like look at and be like, so this is where we could take this, but we don't expect them to actually use it when all is said and done. I'm assuming they're going to want.
How far along are you in that process with making this?
We're like, I don't know, 7 pages in. We're cooking.
It's 7 going. Out of 100?
No, we're following Red Wing's example of a 30-page report, which I think is much better.
Is that something that you'll be releasing to on your website so people can look at too to see, hey, what kind of ideas these students have?
That's a possibility. I think most importantly for us, we're looking to start a conversation with the city. We'll leave it up to them because they might not want us to release that if they're going to draft their own.
Have you talked, have you met with city officials yourselves then?
The past group has, and we are hoping to meet with them in May. We're having scheduling meetings set up, but, you know, that's a process.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Dr. Jeff Jeremiasen's class from Gustavus Adolphus, and it is the Environmental Senior Seminar. They have been doing the St. Peter Greenhouse Gas Inventory, and with us today we have Gabe Maurer, Lucy Peterson, Ari DeVry, and Scott Knowlton. I want to thank you all. Any final words from any of you before I let you go?
I think just thank you so much. We're really excited to be able to work on this project and for you having us here today.
Well, it's wonderful to have you, and say hi to your classmates. They're listening, I hear, right?
Yeah, probably.
Every Day is Earth Day is supported by Minnesota Valley Federal Credit Union. With 2 locations in Mankato since 1934, it pays to bank where you're part owner, member NCUA. More at mnvalleyfcu.coop. And Every Day is Earth Day is also supported by members of the Executive Board of the South Central Minnesota Clean Energy Council. Find out more at smcleanenergy.org.